Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters, BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You're on the couch. Settle back, kick back, relax, enjoy. It's your friendly psychologist, that's me, Dr. Michelle. Happy day to you, hope everything's going well for you. As always, I invite you to call in, share with me some of your issues, and also contact me at my website. First of all, let me give you the live on-air number here. At BBS Talk Radio, it's 818. Ooh, I love his voice. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, baby. Okay, that number is 818-602-4498. 818-602-4498. 818-602-4498. That's calling in live on the show. And as usual, you can find me on my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com. And that's just a brevity. That's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And I'd love to hear from you. You can find out more about what I'm about, my philosophies, and contact me at my email, docmichelle@aol.com as well. You have any questions, comments? Come on down. Love to hear from you. And we got a lot of things to cover today. I have some really cool articles, some of the latest stuff on depression. We're also going to have a little series that I've created. It's called My Own Version of Fear Factor. I've been reading a lot about some of the phobias people have. And I want to get this perfectly straight. I am not criticizing or making fun of any phobias because fears are real things. And I was looking at this phobia list recently. And, you know, I got some of these fears. Yeah. Uh-huh. And maybe you have some of these fears as well. We can talk a little bit about phobias or fears, as they call them. And it's not phobias or fears to where you're completely disabled necessarily, but just stuff that kind of freaks you out. So that was an interesting article that I was reading on all the different phobias and their names. I can't pronounce most of them anyway. But I'm going, yep, got that. Mm-hmm, got that. Yeah, I got that fear too. But I can still function with it. It just kind of creeps me out, some of these things. And what else? Oh, I've got the latest studies for you. Some of the latest news on depression. And as I'm going through my notes here, I have a little more stuff. I got some emails from people who wanted to respond to last week's show because we did a special. And TJ McCormick, of course, who's on the air after me, came on in and we were doing a profile on him. It's called the Superhero Profile. It's like a personality quiz. And we were talking about if you wanted to be a superhero, what ability would you choose to have? And so TJ and I were talking. And so I've got a little psychological insight as to the superhero you may choose, whether it's invisibility, time travel, flying, x-ray vision, all that stuff. So we can do our little continued series on that as well, which is kind of fun. And I have some questions that I'll answer from folks who wrote me about that. I wanted to also reiterate, somebody asked me, Dear Dr. Michelle, what was that story you said about good relationships helping out your health? Well, of course, it's a no-brainer. It makes a lot of sense. And I'll give you that information right now again, because I just wanted to get this out to you. Because I got several responses to this. It says, researchers say warm, nurturing relationships often result in better health. That kind of makes sense. You know, low stress and all that good stuff going through your brain and your body. HealthScout.com quotes University of Chicago sociologist Linda Waite as saying that there's a lot of really compelling evidence that shows having someone you can confide in is very important. Now, I'm not doing a PR, a promo for shrinks, for psychologists necessarily, or MFTs, any kind of therapist, counselors. What I'm saying is it's really important to have someone you can talk to and feel safe enough to share your information with, whether it's a sibling or a best friend or a family member of some other sort, aunt, uncle, you know, whatever. So it just says having someone you can confide in. We all need that. Now, other scientists say the need for intimacy may be hardwired into humans. You know, we need to talk about it. That's because we have the speech center and we can verbalize our stuff and our feelings and the hippocampus and our emotions and our all that. And a lot of the scientists say there's well-documented examples of how, you know, when you're connected to people, how our brains, when we are able to talk and really trust them, release endorphins and release hormones and allow for serotonin. And, you know, that's the good stuff associated with, you know, eliminating depression. If we don't have enough serotonin sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, so, and there's something else that's really weird too that coincides with this. If you see couples for years, and this is kind of, I don't want to get negative or kind of depressed or anything like that, but I just want to tell you, this was part of the study too. Well-documented examples of how, you know, when you see spouses who've been married forever and they're really close, it's kind of rare in our society these days, isn't it? But if you have spouses who've been married for years and years, and then one of the couples passes away, the other spouse passes away shortly thereafter, because it's connection, it's the need to bond, it's the need to have somebody who you can trust and be there with, and so all that. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen to you or anything like that, but all right. What else? Oh, that other study you wanted to know about depression. It says here that scientists have a new report that may put a smile on the face of those suffering from depression, but a frown on the major drug firms. There was a study of 240 patients, and researchers said that therapy seemed to be more effective in treating depression than drugs. And again, I am not pushing shrinks. I'm not touting, you know, that you go get counseling. If you can talk to someone who is listening to you and really cares about you and kindly and non-judgmental, that's pretty good too. But anyway, so this study, 240 patients. They found that therapy may be effective in treating depression more so than drugs. According to the researchers, the effects of therapy last longer. Now, in those 240 folks, 75% of the patients in the study who underwent so-called cognitive therapy avoided a relapse. Avoided a relapse. Now, cognitive is you know, think, change your thinking, change your life, change your thinking and your behaviors, of course, too. And the way you go to the negative place, change that. Positive affirmations, journaling, what they call cognitive distortions, all the negative stuff, change those sentences. Okay, the folks that did that, and that's just a summary of some of the cognitive tools you can use, they avoided a relapse. But only 60% of the patients on medication slipped back into depression. 60% of the patients who were on the medication slipped back into depression. Wow, that's creepy. By the way, therapy, they found, is also pretty much a lot more inexpensive than meds. An average cost of the medications to treat depression over a 16-week period. This is average. You know how they go, the average of gas prices. This is about $400 more than the cost of therapy. Yeah, that's what they said. An estimated 20 million Americans, you know, have depression. Yo, that's amazing. But anyway, and it, you know, it can lead to a lot more problems. But that's just some of the latest research on that. And then the other stuff that it says here, it says more Americans are taking antidepressants than ever before, and these medications seem to be saving lives. So here's the other flip side. Okay. American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says there's a strong correlation between the increased use of antidepressants and the 14% reduction in suicide rates over the last 10 years. This is what we call a longitudinal study. It's a long one. There's a link between the 27% decline in the teenage suicide rate and treatment with antidepressants. Okay. So, I mean, that's really significant. That's really cool to see as well. I love that. Because, yeah, I'm not saying throw away your meds at all. Actually, in most studies that you find on managing depression and anxiety, and they do go hand in hand, as you may know, that you have to have the medications, and it's really important to have the therapy as well. It's really good to have both going for you. I mean, why not? Whatever you can get. And, you know, I'm an advocate for these insurance companies trying to really help folks get psychological counseling. Some insurance companies are not, you know, providing enough help for that. But slowly there's some legislation coming around, and they're trying to help the Medicare, Medi-Cal people and all that, which is great, which is great. And also, folks, if you're, you know, if you're looking for help, sometimes you want to talk to a counselor, an MFT or a psychologist, whatever. They have fee for services, what's called. So it's for people who are like students who can't afford it, or, you know, special needs folks who really need help as well. If you get a referral, you call somebody, ask them if they do fee for service stuff, which is a little lower rate, and you don't necessarily have to have insurance. That's just a heads up, because it's kind of a language that some people know and other people don't know. So that might help you as well if you want to, you know, get help. And coming up, like I mentioned, we're going to do, this is a study I just pulled up again. It's the 25% of all Americans are affected by one phobia or another. It's Dr. Michelle's own version of Fear Factor. So we're going to check out some of the phobias that people have. And like I said, I do, I do have some of these. These are kind of freaking me out here. Because I've felt... And I'm not just talking about spiders and creepy crawlers. And then there's some of the most bizarre phobias you've ever heard of. Well, there's one I just want to share with you. I was laughing so hard last night because there's one of these fears. I can't pronounce it right now, but I'll share it with you in a moment. It's a fear of looking in the mirror. Fear of looking in the mirror. Fear of looking in the mirror. That's me, baby. I go up to a mirror, I go, ah, crap, especially in the morning. Damn, that's scary. Now, that's a phobia. A little humor for the morning. Okay. All righty. Oh, it looks like we have a caller online. Let me see if I can pull this person up. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, by the way. And if you'd like to call me and get on the air, you can do so. Good morning. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle.
Hi, Dr. Michelle.
Hey.
This is David from Colorado.
Hey, how you doing, David?
I'm all right. I was just calling for some help.
Okay. All righty. Cool. Well, what's going on with you?
People tell me that I get angry really easily. And
okay.
I've been trying to talk to my friends. I've been trying to talk to my family. And some of them, they just don't listen because I try to talk to them and I try to explain my problems to them, but they'll just get defensive.
Yeah. First of all, how old are you? Give me an idea. So
I'm 17.
Okay. Alrighty. So your family and your friends and people around you, they think that you're angry? Is that the deal?
Yeah, and I don't see how I'm angry at all. I talk to them. I try to talk to them with as much respect as I possibly can. And, like, I do everything that I can to show them that I'm there for them.
Yeah.
And they just tell me that I'm angry, and I'm not angry.
Okay.
I don't think I'm angry.
Well, what kind of things do you do that show them that you might be angry? I mean, are they saying, oh, you're angry because your face is red and you're yelling, or what's the deal with that?
No, they don't tell me. They're just... David, stop getting so angry. It's like, but a joke. Like I'm not angry, and
you're not.
I don't think I am.
Hmm. Well, what are some of the things that are bugging you? What I mean, why would they say this to you? They wouldn't say this to you unless you were angry, right?
Apparently, but
okay. So
I guess like at times, like I can like raise my voice and like just like. But it's not like out of anger. It's out of more frustration that like they won't even listen to me about stuff.
Okay. Alrighty. So what do you get frustrated about? What do you get sort of angry about? If you say you're not angry, what do you get sort of frustrated about?
Well, I'm sometimes angry about school. I do have a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I had this horrible math teacher. She humiliates me in class, and
she humiliates you?
Yeah, I don't know. She's just not a good teacher.
Okay.
And,
what else?
I think that my girlfriend lies to me. My parents, they're really strict, and they treat me like I'm an idiot.
Are you serious? Well, wait. Okay, so your girlfriend, you think your girlfriend's cheating on you?
I don't think she's cheating. I think she lies to me.
About what?
Just about everything. Like, I'll call her and be like, hey, what's going on? She'll be like, I don't know, nothing. And then I'll be like, what are you doing? And it just, like, she'll either say nothing or, like, she'll be like, she'll laugh at me, like, on the phone. Like, I'll be like, what are you doing right now? And she'll be like, nothing. And she'll be like, I gotta go by. It's like, all right.
So she's kind of passive-aggressive.
Yeah, I guess.
Have you told her this stuff? Have you told her that, you know, you wish she'd communicate with you a little bit more?
Like, yeah. I've talked to her before. I've been like, you know, like, when I call you or whatever and you're doing something, just, like, be like, I can't really talk right now, but I'll talk to you later. But she just doesn't do that. And then, like, that's when I'll raise my voice. I'll be like, just don't, you know? But
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's one little compartment. If you feel that she's cheating on you or you feel that she's not being straightforward with you, you guys need to sit down. You need to just kind of clear that up. Unless you're really...
All right.
Unless you're over the top, like, paranoid and you accuse her of things that she's not doing.
No, not at all. Like,
okay.
I'm sorry. My voice cracked.
That's okay.
Not at all. I don't. Like, I give her space. We don't even hang out that much.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty. So you give her space, but so maybe you guys just need a little more conversation. You need more relationship.
We just need to talk more.
Right. You need to talk more. You need to tell her how you feel more. You know, about her.
I'm afraid, though. Like, I'm afraid to tell her how I feel. Because I'm afraid that's going to lead to something else, and then she'll think that I'm getting angry at her.
Okay, there's ways that you can manage that. There's ways you can say, I want to talk to you, and I'm not going to show my anger, but I'm feeling hurt or I'm feeling frustrated. And you don't have to yell or raise your voice. You can calmly talk to her. It also helps... It also helps sometimes to write it down before you sit down with somebody. Make a date where you're not out in public, but where you can go someplace privately and say, I kind of want to talk to you because I'm worried that, you know, you kind of get rid of me quickly, or I feel like sometimes you're lying to me, because this is what happens. You give her the examples, write them down, and say, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to blow up. I just want to ask you what is kind of going on, because this is how I'm feeling. And let her talk. And just say things like, would you like to continue this relationship? Because I'm feeling that you're always in a hurry, or you laugh at me, and get her feedback.
Okay.
See if she wants to, see if she wants to talk about that. See if she's open to talk. And listen to her. Don't get angry at her. If she says that you're acting irrationally or you appear this way, let her talk. Hear her. And listen to what she has to say. Okay. And that's really a good idea sometimes. So, I mean, that's just communication. And that's if you're feeling that she is not really committed or into this relationship or is a game player, you have to decipher that. And some of the rules are, if someone is willing to be honest with you and you know, sit down and say, oh, I won't hang up. I won't be laughing at you. I won't tell you. I won't lie to you. Or I won't be like hiding where I'm at. You know, those are the rules. Somebody who's straight and honest with you. And if you're feeling she continues to do this to you, then you have to evaluate if you want to be with that person. But that's something, that's just a little file off to the side.
Thank you. But, like, that's just one of many things.
Right. Now, tell me about this teacher who humiliates you. This is kind of bothering me a little bit. Why do you think this person's humiliating you?
To be honest, I don't know. In class, like, she doesn't show respect, and... She only shows respect to girls, and I do everything I can in that class. I listen to her, I follow her directions, I do the work, and she still gives me a hard time about everything.
Does she give you a hard time particularly, or is she like that with other people? You said she's better
with her.
She's
like it with other people, but she specifically does not like me for some reason.
What do you think that's about?
There's clearly a difference in the room when she's talking to another guy or she's talking to me. Like, there's a lot more anger that comes out of her voice, and, like, that gets me angry.
Right.
And obviously I'm not going to get angry at my teacher just because, like, she's my teacher and she controls my grades, so I can't be like, no.
Right,
you
know? That's true.
I have to do everything she says, but I don't have control.
What are you doing that's making her mad?
What am I doing that's making her mad?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Okay, why is she yelling at you? What does she say that, what does she yell at you about?
I'll put my feet up on the chair, not even on the chair, just on, like, I'll basically stretch my feet out and put it on the basket under the chair in front of me. And she'll just look at me. And then I'll be like, yeah, she'll be like, she'll like scream at me. She'll be like, no, take your feet down.
Okay.
And I'll be like, okay. And then she'll be like, are you giving me attitude and like all this stuff? And I'm not.
Okay.
It's just my personality.
So you put your feet down when she says for you to do, I guess for you, I would just do what she has asked you to do and smile and kind of bite your tongue and try to be nice and all that stuff, because it sounds like, you know, she has her, you know, she's kind of controlling that way maybe.
Right.
And she wants her classroom to a certain standard and she has a control over it. She doesn't, she wants, she's probably one of those teachers that doesn't like the kids to slouch or talk, or, you know, there's some teachers that are really, you know, have a controlled environment and they feel better that way.
Okay.
Okay. If she's yelling at you and you're really trying to do things that won't make her angry and she's kind of picking on you, maybe you need to meet with her or something after school, have a meeting. Or maybe you should, you know, and I know this is embarrassing for a 17-year-old, but maybe you should have, like, a parent or something talk to her. No, that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work, huh? But maybe you should maybe you can sit down and say, I really, you know, I really like this class. I really like what I'm learning, and I'm trying to, I just kind of feel sometimes, is there something that I could do, you know, is there something I could do that would not make you feel upset with me or feel like I'm distracting the class, or and listen to her again. Okay?
Okay.
Because if these people... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, no, go on.
If your family and your friends and your girlfriend, if they're all saying to you, as you told me earlier, that you're showing that you're angry, there's something going on. They can't all be wrong. So there's something on your face. There's something by the tone of your voice. There's something, maybe you're turning red. Maybe your body language, you're clenching your fists or your teeth. They're seeing anger, possibly. So they're not all wrong, and maybe you're putting that out, and you're frustrated with your teacher. She sounds like kind of a control freak, but just an idea. Maybe you have a chat with her. If you're trying to do everything she asks you to do, and you're doing it, then maybe you can have a chat and say you're doing that. You say, I'm really trying to work, and I hope you're not upset with me. I love this class. I'm trying to, you know, is there something that I can do to make you feel better? And listen to her and go, okay. Even if you have to, like, just try to mellow out and control that. Because,
right.
You know,
then, like,
yeah, go ahead.
Probably, like, another factor that really comes into, like, what could anger me,
yeah,
make me show anger, is my parents, they are, like, really strict, and they treat me like I'm an idiot.
Okay.
And I try the best I can in everything, and, like, I show them that, like, I care, and I do basically everything I can to show them that, to not let them down.
Yeah.
And then when I come home and I get treated like an idiot, and then they start yelling, they start yelling at me because they're saying that I'm angry, and that's just making, that makes me more angry when they're really angry. It's like really, it's just like a big, just not right circle of.
Right. Do they blow up at you a lot, or do you find that they're calmer?
They're calmer, but I guess, like, they say that me being angry makes them angry, which makes me more angry, and then just, it just doesn't work out altogether.
Okay. What I'm thinking is the best way to do this would be to, again, you know, maybe take some downtime instead of when you come in from whatever, school or friends or whatever, take some downtime and sit down with either one or two of your parents. And have this talk. Say, I don't want to get upset. I don't want to, you're accusing me of being angry. I don't want to, how can I express my frustration to you without you thinking I'm losing it or angry? How can we communicate better? And the best way to do that is always I feels. You know, when you say to me, give me an example of what they may say to you when you come home that makes you angry.
How's your day at school today? Just like a normal conversation. I'll be like, it's fine.
Okay.
And then they'll say, well, what'd you do? I'll be like, nothing. And I'll be like, I know you didn't do anything. And I'll be like, well, do you want me to lay out my day for you? And then they'll be like, I'll be like, sure. And I'll be like, I'm not going to lay out my day for you. And then it just escalates. It's like, I'll say, like, no, I'm not going to lay out my day for you. And they're going to be like, why? Then they start questioning me, like, well, did you do something that we wouldn't want you to do? And they'll be like, no, I just don't want to tell you what I did in my school today because I just got home from school, and the last thing I want to do is talk about more school.
Oh, okay.
And it just keeps escalating, and then they'll get angry, and then I'll get angrier because they don't understand where I'm coming from.
Right. Okay. All righty. Well, what I would suggest you do is, it sounds to me like you're a little defensive. And it sounds to me like you have stressful school stuff going on. But it sounds to me like you're a little defensive. And, you know, honestly, this is really a common conversation that I hear from a lot of parents with their kids, their teens especially. How was your day at school today? What'd you do today? Nothing. Because, I mean, yeah, you're tired. You've had a full day. Your mind's kind of full of stuff, and you may have homework or whatever, and you're scattered. What I would do if I were you is I would sit down with them and say, guys, I am so scattered. I've had a crazy day. I'll be happy to tell you how my day went. Not be defensive and say, like, do you want me to lay out my whole day for you? You know, don't be defensive. Just say, I am really stressed out right now. I've had a crazy day. I just need some downtime. I want to get a snack or call my friends or go on the computer or something like that. And I'll be happy to tell you about my day. Let me just kind of settle down a little bit and get my head together. Would they be okay with that? Hello. I think we lost him. I think we've zapped out on the line here. Hello, are you there? All right, David from Colorado just zapped out. Let's see if he can call back. I thought that was a pretty good suggestion, though. You know what? My whole point in this is, let's see if we can get a number up again. Okay. All right. Dropped out. All right. No problem. What I'm thinking, here, it's flashing on the screen again. Internet radio. So much fun. There you are. Is that you, David, calling from Colorado?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. My phone just died.
Okay. That's all right. Look, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, If you're online, you're listening, that's fine. And what I'll do is I'll just give you some advice. We'll get off the line. And I hear what you're saying about anger. But let me just hang up with you now. Go ahead and listen to my advice. I really appreciate you calling in the show. So I'm gonna get off the air because your phone sounds a little shaky and I don't want it to be weird. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to disconnect and just listen to my answer.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle.
You're welcome. You take good care of yourself and chill out a little bit, big guy.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. When I say chill out, I mean really kind of take a look at how you're responding to other people, because people who are used to just, and a lot of teenagers, this is a common thing, guys. You know, it's you're going through a lot of changes. You have a lot of emotion. You have a lot of hormones kicking. There's so much going on socially. The pressure with school, the pressure these days to really perform and get into college is high. There's a lot of pressure, and I understand that. But if you're coming off really angry, as David said he did on the air, there used to be a thing, and I just want to share this with you. There used to be a thing called expressive therapy. And this was way back in the 70s, probably. Yeah, it was before this guy was born. And it's associated with encounter groups and psychodrama. They used to have this thing called, you know, where they pounded pillows. I used to do this. I'm dating myself now. Actually, I used to do this in the 90s in a group. It was like a residential outpatient place here in Los Angeles. And what we would do is we'd have the anger management group. And they'd get to yell and scream, and they'd beat these things on a padded chair. And they were padded up. They're like padded baseball bats. The name of the tool is not coming to me right now. But anyway, they'd bang it. Everybody in the group, there'd be like about 8 people in the group, and they get to bang this thing on the table and talk to whoever they're having issues with. So let's say that a guy's having relationship problems with his girlfriend, and he beats this thing on the chair and he says, how dare you hurt me? How dare you say this to me? How dare? And he'd beat it and he'd get it out. And the group was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, everybody encouraged this person. Everyone had their turn to beat it out. Okay. So that's psychodrama. And then there's that, it's the cathartic model in psychotherapy. It's popular, you know, catharsis, getting it out and all that. We need to let it out and express ourselves. Let those feelings out. And then facilitators and everybody else would, yeah, you go, yeah. And the thing is that it was like a chemical rush. It was believed to be a really good antidote to leftover repression, you know, repressing all those feelings, that you could heal and become whole if you just let yourselves go. And there was value doing that for some people, and especially men, because guys are action people. They have to get it out and yell and scream and pounding pillows and all that. And, you know, there's a lot of profanity in the group. The value was to become, you know, less afraid of your anger, because the whole thing back in the 70s and 80s has been like, be more, you know, feely touchy to guys. So it was tough. But anyway, I want to get back to this. David, I'm answering your question. And what I'm saying to you is, this is a great way to let it out sometimes, but you know what? There's other things you can do. You can communicate better with people. And you might contact somebody if your anger's really getting out of control. You might contact somebody to get some help, or someone, a confidant who you can talk to and get a different perspective. Okay? They have, if you go online, okay, you can look up tools. They have willpower. They have things called solemn oaths, all right? Appropriate expression of anger, mediation. They have mediators who can mediate your issues. And, you know, there's anger management tools. Go online and check out anger management, okay? Because there really are some helpful tools. The research shows that letting it out and freaking out, getting angry and trying to fight and be defensive all the time, it only makes it worse. It justifies your anger. There was a big study done way long time ago. You might have heard about it. It was a guy named Feshbach. He was an early pioneer in anger research. And he checked out hostility and aggressiveness. He took a bunch of boys who were not especially aggressive or destructive, and he encouraged them to kick furniture and play with violent toys. They had those Bobo dolls. Remember those? No, it's way before your time probably. But anyway, they used to punch these. They were like punching bag toys. And you'd punch them and they'd come up again. But anyway, what he found out was that aggression and aggressive play and letting out the anger actually increased it. And boys became more hostile and destructive because it was okay, as opposed to letting off steam. So what they found in all these studies was letting off hostility towards another person may increase rather than decrease hostile feelings because it makes it okay. So the latest research shows that it's like an addiction. Anger is an addiction. It's a chemical rush. All right? Now, this is probably too much information for you, David, who's on the phone. And I hope you're listening to me. But you might, you know, go online, check out anger management, and find out, you know, more about, you know, it's a release of endorphins. It's a temporary release. Because what I found, you know, if you're letting it out, if you're angry, if you're screaming and yelling, yeah, you're fatigued. If you're pounding something and you let your anger out, try to chill and get feedback from other people. Explain to people how you're feeling. And I don't mean to be, you know, coming off like I have to be a girly man. I feel really... No, just say, you know, it makes me angry when... And find out what they're all about. Find out their feedback. You know, because that way you can get more information from them and then you can communicate a lot better. So you know what I'm saying. So anyway, that's what the deal is. Okay, David, I'm really, excuse me, I have a little frog in my throat today. I'm really glad you called. And, you know, that's just some of the ideas to help folks out there with anger management. And if you want to call me on the air, it's 818-602-4498. As we're heard from David in Colorado, let me know what's going on with you. If you would like to call in. Also, you can find me on my website, and it's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. And, you know, you can check me out, and you can find out about, you know, what's going on and some of the ideas I have. So there you go. All right, we were going to talk a little bit about some phobias because I had my own version of the fear factor. There's the phobia list. And where was my story on phobias? It was really cool. You know, there's a lot of people who have these outrageous fears. And I was looking at the phobia list. I was trying to find out some of the latest fears that they have listed. I mean, they have all these really interesting things. And it says 25% of all Americans are affected by one phobia or another. 25% phobia. A fear, a major fear. It's defined as a persistent, excessive, unrealistic fear of an object, person, animal, activity, or situation. And the phobic individual either tries to avoid the thing that triggers the fear, like me, or childhood phobias are short-term conditions that, you know, they persist, okay? And you have to endure these things with great anxiety and distress. All right. So sometimes without proper treatment, the anxiety and distress of an untreated phobia can really increase your risk for other types of illness. Depression, fear, anxiety, substance abuse. Woo! A lot of people who have, fears and phobias, you know, they try to self-medicate because it's kind of scary. So the phobia list. All right, I'm looking at this list here and some of the things that they have. These are some really interesting. I mean, I'm not talking about the regular phobias, just for your information, like the fear of heights or spiders, arachnophobia, all that stuff. There is actually a phobia. It's called a fear of flowers. It's called anthrophobia. Oh, my God, those roses are scary. Most women do not have anthrophobia, by the way, guys. It's always nice to bring them flowers. Oh, God, those daisies are freaking me out. Yeah, there's truly a fear of flowers, and I don't know what that's about. All right, I have a beauty for you. This is a really great phobia. It's arachibutyrophobia. Arachibutyrophobia. Let's see if I can... Arachibutyrophobia. Arachibutyrophobia. Yeah. Okay, that's a... ready? What do you think that is? No. It's not a creepy crawly creature. No? Arachibutyrophobia. Are you ready for this? A fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I swear it's listed. It's right here in the phobia book. Isn't that funny? I love that. Oh, my God. Siggy from down the hall just came in. Hey, Siggy. How are you doing?
Hey.
Siggy's one of my new office mates here. He pops his head in. And the reason why I call him Siggy, I'm not going to reveal his real name. Because he's shy. Siggy comes in and listens to my show sometimes. I call him Siggy because of Sigmund Freud, of course. And when we get off the air sometimes, we talk about stuff that was going on and stuff like that. So, Siggy, do you have any fears?
I have fears of...
Can you get a little closer to the mic?
I have fears of parking attendants. I just want to say hello to Ben down at the public library. I told him I'd... probably be on the radio today sometime.
Can you get into the mic a little better?
Okay, right there. How's that?
That's good.
Okay.
Okay, Siggy, you're so funny.
Yeah. No, my fear...
fear of parking attendants? Are you clowning around with me?
I'm just having fun. I don't know. Fear... Jeez, Doc. Fear of couches. Fear of couches,
yeah. Fear of therapy couches.
Fear of therapy couches.
All right.
You know, us guys don't like therapy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Ziggy. Yeah, but you know, you're a touchy-feely kind of guy. I know you come off like you're really tough and everything.
Yeah, I like to touch you.
Okay. I'm going to kill your mic. Can you leave a little bit? Well, you're freaking me out a little bit, Ziggy.
Do I really have to leave?
You don't have to leave, but I want you to sit over there. Get off my couch. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you can bring in Josh from down the hall, too, so he can keep an eye on you. All righty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, a lot of guys do have the fear of the therapy thing as well. And, you know, it's kind of scary sometimes. Look, women are a lot more amenable to getting therapy than men, but you knew that. I'm doing the phobia thing. Let me just do the phobia thing. Siggy, if you have anything more, you know, appropriate that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear that from you. So do you want to hear about some of these phobias?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We talked about fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Have you ever had that fear?
It hurts.
It hurts?
I mean, your tongue is, you know, you got...
Oh, okay. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Sit in the chair over in the corner. Thank you. Josh, keep an eye on Siggy. He's freaking me out here today a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Here's a good one. Here's me. All right. A telephobia. What do you think a telephobia is, Ziggy?
Afraid of the phone?
No, that's good. That's really good, but it's not. That's what I would have said. Maybe it's a teleophobia.
Being I think it's transported from one place to another.
No. But that's a good answer. That's really, it's called fear of imperfection. And most male clients I have that issue. Fear of imperfection. They're not perfect enough. A lot of women, too, actually. A lot of young women.
Yeah, ooh. I can see that.
Okay.
I can see that. Okay. I probably got that problem.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You see,
I need more free therapy.
No, you're not getting... Well, you can sit here, like I said, listen to the show. And that's fine. Free therapy. Wouldn't we all like free therapy? Okay, fear of imperfection. That's mine, too. Got to be perfect all the time. Boy, I think everybody has that in this society. Almost.
Especially in L.A. traffic, trying to get one place to another.
You got that right.
That scares me.
That's good. No,
being
that's
late.
True.
I don't like being late.
Yeah, well, you're
late
that's good.
Late for food, late for everything.
Late for food. I got that right. Okay. Check this one out. I love this phobia. And I have this, too. But it doesn't completely disabled me. I love this. It's... Oh my gosh, let me pronounce it. Automatonophobia. Automatonophobia.
I know what that is.
Hold on. Automatonophobia. Sing it with me now. What is it? What do you think it is?
Fear of high gas prices.
Oh my God, that's great. That is beautiful. But that's not true.
That scares the crap out of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Automatonophobia. That's a really good answer, but it's not the correct answer. And I think we all suffer from the fear of rising gas prices, and we all have that phobia, except guys who ride bicycles and girls who ride bicycles and or motorcycles. And that's, you know. Okay, automatonophobia, and I totally have this.
It's, yeah.
Fear of ventriloquists' dummies. Fear of wax statues.
Hey.
Anything that falsely represents a sentient being.
I'm scared of clowns.
Wait a minute. I'll get to that. Okay. Fear of ventriloquist dummies. Any kind of electronic creatures or those automatonic creatures, wax statues, anything that falsely represents like a human being.
I don't like those stupid automatic dogs. You know, the robots.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're talking about human stuff here, but I get that. And I don't want to explore that with you right now.
I beat one up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. please, I don't want to go there right now with this. That's great. Oh, let's get to the clown. You said you were afraid of clowns, Sydney?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's called, there really is a real phobia name for that. It's called, Coulrophobia. Fear of clowns.
I had that when I was 5 years old.
Do you still have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I think a lot of us have that. It's kind of freaky because, you know, they're scary.
My clown, when I was 5 years old, my clown attacked me in bed.
In your dreams? Yeah.
No, he really attacked me in bed.
A live clown or your doll?
A doll.
Okay.
It was scary.
Well, sure it was. 5 years old.
He came
old.
Alive. The eyes,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
It was weird. I got over it.
That was a bad dream.
When I went through puberty, I got over it.
Okay, so you got over the fear of clowns. But they still kind of freak you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Very good. Let's move on to something else I found was a fascinating fear. I love this one. I just turned down your mic because I think you're kind of... Okay, if you don't mind, let me just go on here. Yeah, there is fear of sex, actually. And I...
That's my wife's problem.
That's what? Fear of sex is what?
That's my wife's problem.
Okay. I'll try to find that in a minute. Alrighty. Josh, keep an eye on Siggy. He's getting out of hand here. All right, fear. Ready for this? Blenophobia. What do you think that is? What do you think that is, Siggy?
Afraid of blenders.
Good. Well, you know they can be really irritating and loud sometimes. Afraid of blenders. Blenophobia is the fear of slime. So, you know, people have a fear of slime. I guess a lot of folks who live out...
I won't go there.
Okay, good. I'm glad. A lot of folks who live out, where there's a lot of slime in, what do they call them? In the South, Louisiana, and those, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm blanking out right now. We'll just move on to that one.
Ooze.
And then there's, of course, autophobia. Autophobia. We already.
I have no idea.
Okay, that's fear of being alone or fear of oneself.
What's that called when you like you stick and you're in your house and you don't go out?
That's agoraphobia.
Ah.
Yeah, that's
a friend of mine has that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's a real tough one. But you can, you know, with therapy, you can work on that. Exposure therapy and all that. It's helpful.
Hey, Josh.
Josh, what? Hold on. Let me just continue this on. Okay. Right. I'm going to turn your mic off. Yeah.
Dumb to call in.
Josh, get off the. Josh, honey, that doesn't mean you can sit on the couch either. You're not on the couch right now. Okay, good. Sit on the chair. Oh, yeah. All those of you out there who have didascalinophobia. Just like our caller earlier today, David, that's called fear of going to school. I get that.
Yeah.
All right. What are some of the other ones? Oh, yeah, by the way. Your fear of sex?
Yeah.
Ziggy is...
honey, listen.
No, okay. Oh, God. She doesn't know you're going to be on the show today. Does she listen to BBS?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. All right. Genophobia. Fear of sex right there.
Honey, call in.
Genophobia. Okay. Honey, call in. All right. I've hit your mic down again. We only have, you know, about 5-7 minutes or so because I don't want to get into giving. I'd love to have. What's your wife's name?
Jane.
Jane. All right,
Tarzan.
Ziggy. Yeah, your Tarzan. All right. Okay, I'd like I'd like her to call in. We can talk about maybe the fear of sex next week. That would be awesome. I would welcome her to call in. And we could talk about that. I don't know if you want to be here for that. Oh, and it's not going to be my final thing, but my final fear that I think is really kind of interesting. Fear factor. Dr. Michelle on the couch. Genophobia. What do you think that is, Sydney?
Fear of old people.
Genophobia? No, there is really a fear of you know, genophobia.
Generation? I fear old people. Anybody over the age of 35,
okay,
I'm afraid of.
Yeah, you must be afraid of yourself then, Ziggy. Yeah.
Hey,
if you're not...
I'm 29.
Right, and I'm 23. Okay. Anyway, the genophobia is a fear... of knees. Are you afraid of your knees, Ziggy?
I'm afraid of other women's toes.
Okay.
But good. Knees is, that's a weird one.
Yeah, fear of knees. I like that one. Okay, we're getting silly. All right. I'm going to manage his mic again because we're getting really too silly. Actually, what I thought I would do is move on because I got some IMs here from folks and they wanted me to get on. We don't have that much more time, but they wanted me to get on with the superhero profile, which I did a couple of weeks ago on Sam the Man in the Morning on California Dreamin'. And he wanted to fly. And the question here with my personality quiz is, what kind of superhero would you like to be? Ability to fly, time travel, invisibility, x-ray vision, the power... Hold on. I'm not done yet. And my mic... I've killed your mic, man. All right. The ability to read minds, the ability to see into the future, super hearing, or the power to change forms, like a shape shifter, I guess, as they call them. Now, TJ McCormick, by the way, wanted to have the ability to fly. He wanted to have x-ray vision, too. Which was kind of cool. So if there is another superhero thing that you would like to have, I'm now going to turn on your mic, Ziggy, and I want you just to tell me, what superhero ability would you choose to have?
Frogman.
Frogman.
So I can hop through traffic,
you're not...
and slime people.
Okay. All right. Seriously, though, what would you... I'm getting nowhere. If you,
I'm having fun.
I know, but I gave you choices. So if you were to have one superhero quality of the choices I gave you, what would it be?
I'd like to disappear and be invisible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you about invisibility.
That's where I could see what my wife's doing.
Oh, jeez. We need some help on this guy. All right. Ziggy, you're coming back for a therapy session next week with
me. Okay.
All right. Invisibility. So you... Yeah. All right, this is a no-brainer. For the personality quiz of superheroes, folks who want to be invisible, you like to know everything that's going on around you. or you tend to be shy, which I don't buy. Are you shy?
Well, depends.
Okay. Or a very keen observer. You're always checking out people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're
I like
a salesperson,
to check out people.
Too. You're a salesperson. So, you see, So you read people's body language. You watch a lot of people and how they respond to you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you tend to be a very keen observer. You may be shy. You don't seem like it to me. Or you like to know everything that's going on around you. Or I'm going to just throw this in there because you said you like to see what your wife's doing. You're a little paranoid and suspicious. So there you go.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Here for Career Clue, by the way, for someone who would like to be a invisible superhero, it says Career Clue, some good careers for observers would be a private investigator. All right. An artist? Are you into art at all?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay.
I like those black velvet art things.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Or a writer. So if you want to, write things, observing the way people are, observing the way people do things like that. So, okay. Ziggy, thank you for just coming in from down the hall. I appreciate it. You can come on in when you want from time to time on my show, and we can talk about stuff. You're a real fun guy.
Cool.
I call him Ziggy because I'm not going to reveal his real name. Because, we do talk a lot about psychology when we get off the air, like Sigmund Freud. Ziggy, thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming on my couch.
Bye.
Okay, good. And thanks, Josh, down the hall also for babysitting Ziggy, making sure he's appropriate today. Anyway, all righty. If you'd like to find me, good, the door is closed. He's out of the building. Now I can talk about him. No, kidding. If you want to find me, my website is drmichelletherapy.com. That's drmichelletherapy.com. drmichelletherapy.com. And that Michelle has two L's in it, therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. You can find out more what I'm about. Also, you can write me at my website. It's docmichelle@aol.com, and that's D-O-C. That makes it a lot easier. All these doc things, I don't know. But it seems to work, and I love to hear from you, and I appreciate all your instant messages while I'm on the air, and I also appreciate your phone calls and of course, your emails. I'll be doing the same thing next week as well. I love talking about some of the latest research on stuff. We'll be having the Fear Factor as well, talking about more of the phobias. Maybe we'll get Ziggy in here again if he'd like to come in, share some of his interesting thoughts with us. And, of course, I always invite you to call me. So I'm going to scoot out of here. TJ McCormick is next, and I think he's getting ready to roll and come on in here. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for being on the couch. Dr. Michelle here. That's me, your friendly psychologist. So nice to have you always. And come on back because we got more of the best here on the couch, and love to hear from you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Have a safe weekend, too. Bye-bye.